Okay, there it goes. All right, Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 263. Just the very first heavy subheading here says Battle Creek, of course, April 23rd, 1859. Yes, recording is on. It's working now. Thanks, Bennett. And it's actually another subheading called it says Attended Meeting and Entertained an Entertained Company. It says, well, they're not entertained like we do it today, but they're like, you know, talking back and forth, I guess. It says Sister Brackett, Sister Lane, and her daughter, Sister Scott, and Sister Smith came from the Convest to the meeting at Battle Creek. They took dinner at our house. I'm not going to read the compilers, and it goes on. It says, meeting was interesting through the day. Brother Wagoner preached in the forenoon. His discourse was appropriate. At intermission, four were baptized. Sisters, you know, this is one of the perks of having a, you know, like a brick and mortar church. I got to tell you, and I still pray if the Lord allows us to, like, even like if we had a big gathering, you know, like Florida, for example, I haven't updated the Needs Church page in a few months, I would think. And I would think we could have quite a few family members to come, but still not on a regular basis because Florida is a huge state. And, but it would be nice if we were able to just go into a small town and just go door to door and then fill a church. And I think we could, there's a small town near here where three times since we moved in to this house, because sometimes we got to cut through that little town to get to Lafayette. Well, actually, every time we go to Lafayette, I like to cut through because it's a shortcut. Three times since moving in here, that church has changed hands. People keep changing its name. People keep buying it. I'd love to be able to go into that town door to door and talk to the people about the Sabbath and then buy that building if the Lord would allow. Or have somebody else buy it, you know. And then we would just have an actual building, a church building, in a real small town in the middle of Indiana. Because just doing this, like she's saying here, at intermission, four were baptized. and then it says Sisters Hyde, Scott and Agnes Irving, and Brother Pratt. Our afternoon meeting was very interesting. My husband never had greater liberty. The Lord's Spirit was in the meeting. The Lord gave me freedom in exhortation. In the eve, the ordinances of the Lord's house were attended to, and it was a solemn, interesting occasion. I was unable to attend meeting, being much exhausted. So, what year was that? 1859. So, she still had some years left, but she was sickly a lot. All right, the next one is July 20th, 1872. It says, took a walk, wrote and read. It says, it was a beautiful morning. This is the Lord's rest day, and we desire to keep the Sabbath, that God may accept our efforts, that our souls may be refreshed. We walked out, seeking a retired place in a grove where we could pray and read, but we were not successful. We spent the day in conversing upon religious subjects, writing and reading. And this is another thing, you know, being all alone out in the middle of nowhere, without a church family, it's not often we get, and this is why I love it when some of the church family visit us. We used to have a couple that used to visit us and actually spend the night here every few months. Dick and Elaine, some of you remember them, truckers. And it used to be great having them here on Sabbath, and we would just go back and forth and just have a wonderful Sabbath day. Okay, next one. Missionary visits. And she says, my husband spoke to the people in the forenoon. I remained at home because I did not feel able to attend. In the afternoon, I attended a meeting. After the meeting closed, and this is kind of like the way we do it, too, to this day, and that's just because the Holy Spirit moved us to do it, because a lot of us, like myself included, I have never read all of Sister White's writings yet, and this is one of the reasons we do it on Friday nights. But after church on Sabbath day, we all know at 4 o'clock Central Time, you know, a lot of people come in and gather and, you know, have meeting. And it's always a blessing. And it's, you know, you don't have to, well, like most people that come to these conference rooms that we do, the overwhelming majority don't even use the mic. And some don't even use the text because it's, you know, a nice place to come and just be with. Because if you're living out in the middle of nowhere, and you have no one to fellowship with, this is better than nothing. And then, yeah, some people says, well, I got to have the, and this, I really, really pray for these people because we've lost some members that have done this. And it always worries me for them when they do this. This, you know, like just recently, about a month ago, a young man was saying how he just can't deal with it. He has to go to a physical building to be with people. And so now he's going to go visit on Sabbath day in an SDA church. I says, you're going right back into the fire, brother. You can't be doing that. He says, yeah, but I just can't deal with this all alone all the time. I says, well, then you're not going to pass the test, are you? I says, what test? Well, I says, well, look around. All the signs are here that Christ is going to be here soon, right? And before he gets here, there's an awful lot of work that's got to get done, especially in regards to when they start the buy and sell issue. We don't know how long that time is going to go before they put out the death sentence. And so we're going to have time to go out and tell people, hey, you know what this buy and sell really is about? And so we're going to go out there and, you know, share our faith and bring people into the number. And yeah, they're going to, a lot of them will get martyred and stuff like that, but there's a work to do. And there's also the Gideon Band that's being formed as we speak. And if you're new, when I refer to the Gideon Band, it's always the 144,000. And the reason I call them the Gideon Band, well, read what Gideon did, okay? Anyway, so the Gideon Band is going to go forth. And I've said this, what, how many times? How effective will the 144,000 be when that latter rain falls more abundantly if you're all in one church, in one town, in one city, or one state? How effective? But you're going to be really, really effective for the Lord if he's got you scattered all over the world where, you know, like, you're the only one that you know of in 200 or 300 miles that believes the way you do. Because this is how it's been for my wife and I for decades. Still, even though most of the people out here know about our faith, it's just like it goes in one ear and out the other. They don't want to hear it. And so if you can't handle being alone where you're at now when it's legal to walk with Christ, when it becomes illegal, you're not even going to be anywhere near. You're not going to be found. You're going to be in those churches. You're going to be in the SDA church. You're going to be in some other church because you crave the fellowship. If you can't stand alone with Christ, you're going to fall for anything. And so that's just part of the test, standing alone with him sometimes. And I praise God for it too, that he actually gave me the loner kind of mentality since I was a little kid, walking around in the prairies talking to him when I was like 8, 9, 10, or 11, and 12, and 13, 14, I think I was 15, I stopped doing it. and then I was an idiot for a few years, and I, of course, dedicated my life to him when I was 29. But one of the main reasons I believe is the way he, the particular family that he put me in, one of 11 kids, you know. And so it wasn't a lot of free time, wasn't a lot of quiet time. And so, yeah, I would escape as often as I could to get away from all the teasing and all the fighting and all the back and forth. You get up in the morning and there's 10 people in your face at all times. And it's just, yeah, I got on my bike and left. And so I praise the Lord. A lot of people crave that fellowship, and I understand it. I understand it because now I got a wife and 8 kids, and I crave being around them. But I also like being alone at times. And that's why you know, I really cherish the midday prayer. Oh, yeah, well, the morning prayer and evening prayer, too. But that midday prayer, I like to go out there and just be with them for a while. So anyway, she goes on to say, after the meeting closed, I visited Ella Belden. And she says, I had a sweet season of prayer with her. I then visited, I like the way she says that, a season of prayer. Anyway, she goes, I then visited Brother and Sister W. Salisbury. And we had a precious season of prayer with the family. Brother and Sister Salisbury united their prayers with mine. We all felt that the Lord blessed us. I then called upon aged Brother and Sister Morris. I visited Brother and Sister Gardner. He is nearing the close of his journey, and disease has made him very weak. He was overjoyed to see me. We united our prayers together, and the hearts of these afflicted ones were comforted and blessed. So, I mean, this is kind of like a little journal, I guess, what she's going through here now. Next one here is, I rode a few miles, slept some. And it says, we rode out a few miles in the Oak Grove, rested about an hour. We slept some. We had a season of prayer before returning home. In the afternoon, we went to the meeting. Okay, this is going on. It says, wrote on sufferings of Christ. And now she says, a beautiful day. Rather warm. Took a peck. felt better, wrote 15 pages on sufferings of Christ. You know, because as most people understand, she was the most prolific female writer in the history of mankind. But try to find Ellen White's writings anywhere in a Christian bookstore. You ain't going to find it. Why? Well, for the same reason the Jesuits read her writings and have admitted to reading her writings. She has been, confirmed a prophet. And, I mean, there's always been a prophet for every age of the church. You know, well, she's been dead since 1915. Well, yeah, well, it's not like her writings were burned the second she died. I mean, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have been dead a while. So is Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the rest. But Ellen White's treated, her writings are treated in the exact same way Daniel's writings are still being treated to this day by the Jews. The things that Daniel put in his book regarding the end result of the week of Daniel, right after they stoned Stephen, yeah, the Jews didn't want to hear that. And so from that day forward, Daniel was called a false prophet because he predicted the end of their probation. In other words, their favored nation status would end. And those who accepted Christ as Lord and Savior would then be called Israel. And no longer those who were born of Israel would necessarily be Israel. You had to accept Christ in order to carry that name. And so, like Daniel, Ellen White is not going to be found in any of the Christian bookstores because, well, they got to keep the shelves filled with guys like Pat Robertson or Joel Osteen or Kenneth Copeland or the Pope or any of these other false prophets and false teachers. They got to keep the shelves filled with those because that's where the bucks are. That's where the money's made. And if you put Ellen White's books, if you just put one book of hers, like The Great Controversy, say, on a shelf, she exposes all those other books. And it's kind of going to ruin their business. I mean, they want to be able to sell all these books, and all of a sudden, real people are going to start, realizing Ellen White's telling the truth. They're going to start studying what she's saying. They're going to understand what Joel was talking about in the last days, his daughter shall prophesy. They're going to start understanding her writings and going back into the scriptures and seeing, because she never, she always uses the Bible to explain the Bible like Jesus did, and she even wrote with the rabbinic code without realizing it. And that's why those rabbis became believers and Christians, because she used the rabbinic code, which no one really knew what they meant when they mentioned it. And they explained that the rabbinic code is, in today's language, the style of how God writes. Not the prophets, but how God writes. Because all the prophets have their own style, but every single prophet has a foundation type style of the way they write. They all do it the exact same way. Every one of them, including Ellen White. And that's what more or less convinced those rabbis. But I kind of lean more towards to the the scriptural facts that she put. Because I never knew about the rabbinic code until I found out what they had to say about it. But, yeah, so she wrote 15 pages on the sufferings of Christ, like it says here. And then she goes on. It says, I became much interested in my subject. Brother Wheeler, Hester, and Brother Van Ostrand went to the meeting. We had some prospect of rain, called the family together, and read the matter I had written. All seemed interested. So she wrote 15 pages and then shared it with them. And I wouldn't doubt it, because I do this. While she's reading it, hold on a second. Put a comma or, cross a T or dot an I or change a word or two. You never want to proofread your own stuff, I'll tell you that. Because it'll get longer and longer and longer. Anyway, next section is titled Entertained a Non-Adventist. And it says, we arrived home a little before sundown. And for those of you that are new, no, we are not Seventh-day Adventists. We're Seventh-day Remnant. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 7 goes into details to regards to the stages of the seven churches, four movements. And we're that 11th hour movement. And then, of course, you see the confirmation in Revelation 12:17. The dragon's angry with the woman, yeah. The church. But he's not making war with her. He's going after the remnant of her seed. But yet the SDA church goes out there and says that they're the remnant. Well, how can you be the woman and the remnant of her seed? No, it's not going to work. Anyway, she goes on. We arrived home a little before sundown, received letters from Brother Kenwright and also Mary Gaskill and Daniel Bordeaux, giving us an account of camp meeting. When we reached home, we found John Cranson there. We felt sorry that he should come to see us on the Sabbath. We do not like to have visitors to entertain upon the Sabbath who have no respect for God or his holy day. And again, I like to echo that in respect to, when my dad was alive, I'd talk to that guy 2, 3, 4 times a week sometimes, in the last couple, 3 years of his life. And I praise God for that opportunity because he did change a lot. I mean, the Lord, it was obvious that his anger was gone, and he did openly declare Jesus Christ as Savior, even though he claimed to be a Catholic. I still don't know where he's headed, you know. I can't read hearts. I can only plant seeds. I would never call him on Sabbath. It's just like some of my old stomping friends, you know, stomping buddies and stuff like that, which are either in jail or dead now anyway, so I don't talk to any of them. One guy that I used to hang with in high school will call me, I don't know, once every 2-3 months, or I'll call him once every 2-3 months. He claims to be a Christian. He's Sunday keeper. He does have a lot of questions, especially when some prophetic events go down, because he knows I study and teach prophecy. And so he'll call on occasion, but still, I will not talk to him on Sabbath day either, because the conversation's going to veer off path and says, like, yeah, you remember when we were out doing this today? Yeah, no, I'm not, no. Because he'll bring up these old stories and stuff, and, you know, sometimes it's enjoyable to hear, but sometimes it's, man, I don't want to talk about stuff like that, because that's, you know, I don't do that stuff no more. But some of the fun things, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing wrong with reminiscing. Okay, going on, next one. Traveled on Sabbath regretfully. Oh, here's another one, the stuff on travel. It says, okay, now this is 1873, and she says, we rested well on the car during the night. It's neat that we're reading this, because before we had the other one about where she did travel on Sabbath. We also understand in emergencies it's okay, especially if you're doing God's work, it's okay. But here, let's see what she says here. She goes, we rested well on the car during the night. We were in the car, obviously, being a train, I guess. And then we were unwilling to report ourselves on the cars this morning. But circumstances connected with the cause and the work of God demand our presence at the general conference. We could not delay. Okay, so here's an emergency. And she goes, if we were doing our own business, we should feel it a breach. Now, there's your answer, because this is the question. So I'm going to put this in the email, too. This is, if we were doing our own business, like I was saying earlier, like your own, like a vacation, or doing what you want, or anything, or even business, for that matter. We feel it would a breach of the fourth commandment to travel on the Sabbath. We engaged in no common conversation. You know, Isaiah, what was that, 58:13? And then we endeavored to keep our minds in a devotional frame, and we enjoyed some of the presence of God while we deeply regretted the necessity of traveling upon the Sabbath. So, amen and amen. So, hold on, let me... She was en route from Colorado to Battle Creek. So that wasn't an afternoon cruise, especially in them days. That was a train, obviously, because I can't see. 1873, she wasn't driving a Model T. So hold on, let me just email this to me. Or, yeah. Okay. I don't think the other one came through. Yeah, I think the other one came through, so hold on. Okay, boy, it's hard. You gotta hug this microphone and type at the same time. Okay, there it goes. All right, continuing. The next one is titled Spoke in the Morning, Boarded Ship in the Afternoon. And she says, we rode in the cab to the church in Sydney, and I spoke from Hebrews 11 upon faith. The Lord strengthened me by his grace. I felt much strengthened and blessed. The Holy Spirit was upon me. Strength, both physical and spiritual, was given me in a large measure. In the afternoon at 2 o'clock, we stepped on board the steamer to take the journey we long dreaded. All our luggage had been stored away on Friday. We dislike very much to travel on the Sabbath, but the work must be done in giving the message to the world, and we can keep our minds and hearts uplifted to God and can hide in Jesus. When we cannot control these matters, we must leave all with our Heavenly Father. If our trust be in God, he will help us. So there, again, is another answer to the question as well. A second ago, in the previous one, which was November 8th, 1873, she deeply regretted, but it was a necessity. But still, at the same time, she says, if it was our own business, we wouldn't be doing it, because it would be breaking commandment number 4. 20 years later, 1893, she said what I just read. So, again, got to email this one to myself, because I got to have this on file in case, you know, God's people ask. that understand who Ellen White is. Otherwise, I'd just use scripture. Because even Ellen White said, if you study your Bible properly, you don't even need her writings. So, okay, hold on. I got to hug the mic again. Okay, I'll just put a 3 for that one. And then, boink, paste it in. And off. There it goes. All right. I got a feeling. And I was right. Okay, chapter 30 starts now, but we're 5 minutes out. 5 minutes away. Oh, look at that. It starts off with need not always kneel. And I'm sure she's going to go into a discussion in regards to, like, you're standing in front of somebody, they got a gun stuck in your face, you're not going to drop your knees and start praying. You're going to throw up a prayer pretty quick, right? Or you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off, you start praying. Or you're in a classroom and they say, you can't pray in school. Yeah, well, you're never going to stop praying if you keep, you know, testing kids. And you're not going to stop praying in foxholes either. Even an atheist is going to pray in a foxhole. But on a pulpit, before the people, or in private prayer, get on your knees. And I'm going to hope, I hope that she goes into that one area where she talks here in regards to how she stopped that one preacher. He started praying before the people, and there's a lot of ninth hour, let's just put it that way, ninth hour pastors out there, especially that new guy that everybody's talking about, that young guy, that big, tall, he's not big, but he's tall, slender, black guy, really, really short. I don't know if he shaves his head or not, but he there's a couple of videos where he doesn't kneel in prayer. And Sister White stopped the guy right when he started praying. She stopped and said, you better get on your knees. I mean, come on, you know, in front of the people, and, you know. I mean, even David did that. But still, hopefully she'll get in the deck. If not, we can always dig it up and share it with the people. So, that being said, hope and pray you were blessed. If you can, hey, let's get on our knees and finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us on this Sabbath Eve with a changing of the showbread. We thank you again for giving us all that we need to grow in Christ and for watering the seeds that you've been planting in us for years. Please give us an opportunity to share our faith with others. Please bless everyone that's in attendance and all those that have put prayer requests in the text chat earlier. We lift up all of them, even those that are on our prayer list that have been there for years, some of them. We thank you for the blessings that you've had upon our children, our children's children, and their spouses and all that, and especially those that are sick. We pray for them, and we thank you for blessing them as well, because theirs is a trial that some of us just can't handle, but yet they're handling it, and so we thank you for the way they glorify you through their trial. And Father, we pray that you bless us with the latter rain and the faith that moves the mountains so that we can go forth and do that which no other people in the history of mankind are prophesied to do. We want to be part of that number. We want to go forth and glorify you like no other. And so please bless us with that. We strive unto that perfection, Father. And so please help us in our unbelief. Bless our faith. Bless our courage, our strength, our focus, our discernment, our understanding, and even our retention of the truth. And keep us safe in this world where, even as it was prophesied, the atmosphere has been poisoned. I can't think of a state in the U.S. that you can't walk out, and when you breathe in, you're breathing something that was sprayed on us, I mean, from the chemtrails and or just the radiation and all the other strange stuff. And so thank you for keeping us safe even during these times. But, Father, we want to be part of that number. We want to see you glorified. We want to run towards Goliath and do that which you would have us do. And so if this is that time, we thank you for it. But if it's not, please bless our children to go forth and do it. And we offer this prayer unto you to the best of our ability. And that ability falls far short of the name that we pray in. And that name is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, and King. Amen. Amen and amen. Oh, okay. Thank you. Chase, thank you. That's why I was saying thank you too. I should have just said thank you in the hold on, let me just send a welcome out there. You know, I don't want to say anything, but I want to thank you, Adam, for, you know, well, I guess I am saying something, ain't I? But I notice you put up a lot of my videos and stuff like that, and I appreciate it, and I thank you for it. But who are you? You know, I never knew you. I just know you're a brother in Christ. You obviously are if you're putting up the videos and stuff. But I was just wondering, you know, if you're part of our number, or if you're hearing me right now. I don't know. He might not even be able to hear. But I wanted to welcome you, and if you want, you come back, of course. Oh, okay. That's good to hear. And the only reason on Friday nights we read from Ellen White is because I want to read all of her books, and I've never read them yet, and I don't really have time to. We on Sabbath day, though, we do not use any Ellen White, during the church services. It's all scripture. So because most of them don't, most of the people that the Lord sent here don't even know who she is. Like, I mean, if you're on a street corner and you want to go up to somebody and share with them in regards to, the end times or whatever, you got to come up to them and say, hey, did you know what it says, Great Controversy? And say, well, what's that? Nah, you got to tell them what's in the book of Acts or Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, whatever. Most people understand, Bible books. So, well, good to hear, brother. So good to have you here. And thank you again for sharing the videos.